man. Good job.
All right, excellent. It's exciting to see everything coming together. There's a lot of unity in people's minds already around the theme, so that's kind of cool. But we're talking about loving God, loving our neighbor, obviously. And so I'm tying in the evangelism piece. And one of the things that came to mind was one way to love God is just to obey him and do what he asks us to do. There's a verse up there somewhere. Can you click for me? That'd be awesome. There we go. Jesus said, whoever has my commandments and keeps them, he it is who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. So, you know, what a great way to love God and to see Jesus more clearly, just obeying him, just doing what he says and showing him love that way. And we know that we're called to obey him and sharing the good news. So there's another verse, next slide. Jesus said, go into all the world and proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. That's how we can obey the Lord and love him. And kind of as Nick talked about, loving our neighbor, obviously we got to tell them the good news. Obviously we got to tell them how to avoid hell, how to have a relationship with a loving God, and how to have eternity with him. And we liked the same video, apparently. You liked it so much, you talked about it. I liked it so much, I'm going to actually show it. This guy is a character. His name is Penn Jillette. He is a magician, a juggler, a comedian, a musician, an inventor, an actor, and a best-selling author. I don't know what his book is. I'm not going to read it. And a very outspoken atheist. But he's talking here about a time when someone tried to evangelize or proselytize him, as he says. And they came up to him, approached him after a show, talked to him, and gave him a Bible. And this is kind of his response to that. So it's very short. So you can roll that. A Gift to an Atheist, I think it's called.
It was really wonderful. I believe he knew that I was an atheist. But he was not defensive, and he looked me right in the eyes. And he was truly complimentary. It wasn't in any way, it didn't seem like empty flattery. He was really kind and nice and sane and looked me in the eyes and talked to me. And then gave me this Bible. And I've always said, you know, that I don't respect people who don't proselytize. I don't respect that at all. If you believe that there's a heaven and hell, and people could be going to hell or not getting eternal life or whatever, and you think that, it's not really worth telling them this because it would make it socially awkward. And atheists who think that people shouldn't proselytize, just leave me alone, keep your religion to yourself. How much do you have to hate somebody to not proselytize? How much do you have to hate somebody to believe that everlasting life is possible and not tell them that? I mean, if I believed beyond a shadow of a doubt that a truck was coming at you and you didn't believe it, that truck was bearing down on you, there's a certain point where I tackle you. And this is more important than that. And I've always thought that, and I've written about that, and I've thought of it conceptually. This guy was a really good guy. He was polite and honest and sane, and he cared enough about me to proselytize and give me a Bible, which had written in it a little note to me, not very personal, but just, you know, likes your show and so on. And then like 5 phone numbers for him and an email address if I wanted to get in touch. Now, I know there's no God, and one polite person living his life right doesn't change that. But I'll tell you, he was a very, very, very good man. And that's really important. And with that kind of goodness, it's okay to have that deep of a disagreement. I still think that religion does a lot of bad stuff, but man, that was a good man who gave me that book. That's all I wanted to say.
Isn't that cool? It's so interesting to me to see, you know, what people think, especially unbelievers and atheists. And, you know, a thinking person would have to respect us at least standing up and speaking up about what we believe in if we do it in a loving way and we can have a good conversation that doesn't have to be hostile, even with an outspoken atheist. So, okay, from there, I'd just like to move into the plans for next year. Just want to continue what we've been doing, really, with the Great Commission strategy and T4T. Sharing the gospel with people abundantly as much as we can. Last year we spent a lot of time down in the bottoms just because there's a real need there and a real openness there to having conversations and talking. But this year I'd like to focus closer to Darby Creek just because we need a beachhead. We need you know, some way to get established. And what I found kind of in the bottoms, people are so transient. They're moving in and out of apartments and hotels, and it's really difficult to get anything established. So I'm going to focus up here. There is a map. Next slide shows the blue dot is our church. Nick referred to some of the same areas, but the housing development southwest of us, there's a ton of homes in there. We've been out sharing the gospel in the kind of the northern end of that already, but we're going to continue to do that more. Looking for that person of peace that we talked about, that person that's open to the gospel, that person that would open up their home to be a house of peace. One little statistic, in the last 7 months, we've passed out over 700 tracts. And I only know that because that's when the tract order was 7 months ago, and we just did the math. But that's 100 a month. A lot of those are with gospel conversations. So I was real encouraged by that the gospel's going out, even though we don't always see it or know about it. It's going out all over the place here. And then the other thing we want to try to do this year is hold a training on reaching Muslims with the gospel. There's a lot of Muslims moving to our country or ones that are already here. How many people have friends or coworkers or with Muslims? Okay, that's awesome. I know our kids do. There's a lot of Muslims in our schools. And a lot of them are from countries that are very hard to reach with the gospel. And so it's a great opportunity to get the gospel to them here. And a lot of them have friends and family overseas in those countries, so the gospel can spread there. But a lot of us have no idea how to engage with them. So it's difficult, and it can be scary. You don't want to offend them. You don't want to start a big argument or whatever. But this training will help us with that. It's from a ministry called the Crescent Project. I believe that, yeah, there's a slide there. The training is called Bridges. It's DVD-based. It's like 7 weeks. You do like 90 minutes a week of this training and get up to speed. And their approach is that, you know, obviously Christianity and Islam are fundamentally different, but their approach is to find the places where there's some similarity, start the conversation on those issues, and then bridge over into sharing the gospel, talking about what Christ taught. So I'm just going to end with showing you that trailer for this training, and then Doug, you can jump up after that and do your next segment. All right?
Still waiting for authentic Christian witness.
I was raised Shia Muslim, as if you lived in the Middle East. I mean, we heard the mosque going every day, five times a day. Like, you'd wake up at 5 in the morning and you'd hear Allahu Akbar in the background. I figured I was trying to find God.
When you show your Muslim friend that the Bible has never been changed, you've answered the most common question Muslims have. We see that God loves Muslims, and Muslims are not the problem. Muslims many times are the victim of a system that locks them in, and they need to hear that God loves them and has a wonderful plan for their life.
Both my parents, they're Muslim, and that put pressure on me and my whole family to start practicing Islam, to get involved, and I had a lot of questions. So I started going to church just because I want to know what are they saying about God. Because I know what they're saying about God in Islam, but I don't know really what they say about God in Christianity. I wasn't really hearing what he was saying, because Christ, he was standing behind him, and opening his arm, he says, I told you, this is your day. I'm crying. I was like, I don't know if this is a dream or real.
Millions of Muslims today are living in that fear of judgment day. They don't know where they would be going, heaven or hell. They don't know if their good works are going to outweigh their bad. They need someone to tell them about a Savior. They need someone to tell them about a Redeemer who can wash away their sin and cleanse them from all unrighteousness.
That's really cool. Just real quick, Acts 17, Paul's in Athens. He's talking to these guys that have gotten together. Men of Athens, I perceive that in every way you are very religious. For as I passed along and observed the objects of your worship, I found also an altar with this inscription, to the unknown God. What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you. So think about what we could be doing with people in our lives that have grown up in Islam.